Title of our lesson this morning is These Things. And we may have a series of these things. But because the phrase these things are mentioned multiple times in the Bible, sounds kind of unique, simple, sounds kind of plain. But this morning our passage comes specifically from 2 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, remind them of these things. Not to strive, to be diligent, not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth, to shun certain things, to recognize that some have strayed, and things that overthrow people's faith, and to depart from iniquity. But if I was to say, what would you want to be reminded about the most in your life? When you start talking about memories, right? We got pictures, you know. We have memories in our mind of people, of things, of events, things we've experienced in life. But when we remember things about God, what do we remember? Are we thankful? We studied Job this morning in Bible class. What do you think Job remembered? He had a choice to remember all kinds of things, terrible and good. Same with us, folks. We have tragedy in our lives. We have joys in our lives. And we get to choose what we remember. This is God's passage in one spot that says, remind them of these things. Not only of the things that we've looked at that are highlighted here in our lesson this morning, but at the beginning of the book, it says, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain a salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. These things, obviously, I've highlighted actions or thoughts or things that we could carry with us in our lives from these passages this morning. Be strong as in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, if I was to say to you, you know, who's the strongest person in here? You might look around and look for the biggest person, right? And most of us are going to look for a male, not for a female. Okay? One of the, probably the most physically fit guys, Ronnie, he's not here this morning. But this says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So God sees strength not as man sees it. But we should be seeing that strength the same way that God does. To be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When you think of strength, you think of power, you think of physical strength, you think of money or wealth. But what about the strength of grace? And when you understand the power of grace and the power of Jesus, to be able to commit these to people, to tell other people about it. I'll give you an example. You know, I guarantee you when I get to the racetrack and we start racing this year, somebody's going to say, that guy's got the biggest motor at the track. He's got the most horsepower. He spent the most money this offseason. And everybody's going to be talking about it because he's the strongest. He's got the biggest motor. He spent the most money. That just happens. Happens in our lives. What happens when we get together at a family reunion, folks? Start talking about the biggest and the best, right? What have you done? What have my kids done? What have my grandkids done? We tend to focus on those types of things being strengths, or we identify with those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But to exclude the grace of Jesus when we do those things. To sit back, I'll give you an example. For me to sit back this morning and watch all my brothers and sisters partake of the Lord's Supper from the back. I don't get to see it that much sitting up here. But it brings great joy to me to see people say, I'm following Jesus. I'm remembering Jesus. Jesus is important in my life. Being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And yes, we're going to endure hardships. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes, you know, it's monetary. There's all kinds of hardships each and every one of us endure as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the hard thing about it. How many of us sometimes in our lives have been a bad soldier? What's the difference between a good soldier and a bad soldier? Well, I can tell you what I think, okay? A bad soldier doesn't obey the commands of the leader. A bad soldier doesn't believe he needs to obey the commands of the leader. A bad soldier is not a follower. Or a bad soldier is not a follower. Bad soldier complains all the time. Bad soldier doesn't train. Bad soldier wants to take the easy way out. Bad soldier wants to blame everybody else for their problems, their lack of success. Not so with a good soldier. A good soldier takes responsibility for their actions. A good soldier says, I'm here, Lord, send me. A good soldier says, I forgive you, no matter what. A good soldier says, I'm going to be happy even though I feel like not good. Good soldier says, I'm going to be happy even though it's cold and raining when it should be sunny and 80. Right? Good soldier is going to obey God the Father no matter what comes their way to remain faithful. Going to walk by faith. Not by emotions, folks. And we all struggle with that. We all struggle with doing our own thing and letting our emotions, you know. We all struggle with competing according to the rules. Isn't it funny that that's talked about in this passage? Remind them of these things. Compete according to the rules. We're all tempted. Not to use our blinker. Drive a little fast. Drive too slow. Drive in a left-hand lane when you're not overtaken. Drive without your headlights on. Drive with your brights on. Pay attention to a text instead of drive. Those are rules of the road, okay? What other ways do people cheat? Those are some of the things I see people that endanger others physically in their lives by cheating the rules. Not caring about somebody else. Not being a good soldier. about the rules, folks, of this is a body, it's a temple of the Holy Spirit? What about taking care of ourselves? Eating right, sleeping right, being thankful? Is that a good soldier? It's convicting to me, folks, as I stand up here overweight. But folks, let's be honest with each other. Let's glorify God with the things we do. Now, I'm not saying we should all go on a diet and have treadmills up here while I'm speaking. Okay? But remember to do according to the rules. Compete according to the rules. Rules of being a good soldier. Represent the kingdom of heaven. Being positive. What about being negative all the time? Was Jesus more positive or negative if you look at his life? Now, if you look at all the times that he spoke to the Pharisees and he reasoned with the Pharisees and the times that he called people out, you could say, well, Jesus was negative. He didn't play according to rules of love and peace and patience. But he shared the truth with those people because he did love them. Or do you remember Jesus for all the healings he did? For all the kind things he did? For all the time that he took for other people instead of himself? It's tough. It's tough sometimes to remember Jesus and he's raised from the dead. It's tough sometimes to endure all things for the sake of the elect. It's tough to put others before ourselves. I don't know about you. Maybe it's easy for you. Maybe you're just the most selfless person ever walked face of the earth. I struggle with that, folks. I struggle with that just between my marriage relationship. I want things my way. Ask my wife. There's times, you know, I want things done my way. Yesterday, pulled a knife. We've had a set of knives for over 20 years. I sharpened them up, got a little sharpener and stuff. Pulled one of the knives out. The end of it's bent. And I'm like, how in the world did that get bent? I wanted to know. So I tried to straighten it. It snapped off. The end of the knife snapped off. I'm thinking, how in the world did that get bent? Who did that? To use a proper word, I was very annoyed. I wanted to use that knife. And my wife said, I don't. And I'm thinking whoever else was in the kitchen, you know. It's all family members, somebody. But to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, I need to let it go. I pulled out the sharpener, sharpened the end of the knife that was broke off, and used the knife. I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't let things go that easy. It's tough. It's tough. But Jesus reminds us. That's why we need to remember Jesus and how powerful he is in our lives. When we come into those times that we are frustrated, we want to say things and be somebody that Jesus doesn't want us to be. Somebody that Satan wants us to be. We need to remember and remind ourselves of these things by God's holy word. We need to remember, endure all things for the elect's sake. I need to endure somebody that bent the knife. Somebody had to do it. It didn't happen on its own. Now, you know what? I don't think I did it. But we don't know who did it. I'd like to know. I may never know. I'll probably never know. I'll never know. It looked like somebody tried to pry something and pop something with a knife, you know? Now, I've done that with my pocket knives. You know, like, my pocket knife back there. I take stuff out of my pocket before I come up here typically. I broke pocket knives. That's why I buy cheap ones. Because I know sometimes I'll be tempted to use it as a screwdriver instead of a knife. No matter what comes our way, folks, we need to be strong in the grace that's in Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying, continuing in 2 Timothy. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we die to ourselves, if we endure hardship, he's going to be right there with us. If we accept him into our heart, if we're strong in him. How do we deny Jesus? How do we deny God in our lives? By going through an experience about a bent knife blade and a broken knife blade, and I'm carrying on a little bit this morning about it. I've let it go, but I'm using it as an example. What happens? Well, let me say what happens. You know what? Kelly, you're going to have to go buy a whole new set of knives. I don't care who did that. Adam, did you do that when you were at our house? Where's Kelly? Where's Hannah at? And where's Lucas at? Allie was there for a little bit. Did anybody else come to our house I don't know about? You see what I'm getting at? I could go on and on and on and on. I let it go. Once Kelly said, I didn't do it. I don't know about it. You see what I'm saying, folks? You got to let things go in our lives. Things are going to happen every day. You got to let it go. Even if you're doing the right thing, even if it's something as simple as that, folks, that kind of stuff turns us into hateful people. We can't let it control our lives. We got to remember the things that bring peace and joy and happiness. And then we're following Jesus. We need to remain faithful because he will remain faithful to us. That's part of walking by faith. Part of walking by faith. Last part of our chapter of our lesson this morning says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. I studied a whole bunch of passages that said these things in them, the term these things, the title of our lesson. And then this passage also says, you know, beginning, it says in verse 14, remind them of these things. Remind us, folks, that we are vessels of honor or dishonor, depending on what we do. And isn't it unique? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, I have to place myself in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to place myself under the Lordship. I have to make myself a good soldier by saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. I place myself under the blood of Christ to be sanctified, to be useful for the Master. I have to flee youthful lusts. Why youthful? I don't know, because we're all young at heart, right? So that's a forever thing, folks. It's forever thing. A forever thing. We're going to be tempted with sin. It's just the way it is. We live in the flesh. Whatever it is. But it doesn't say, just let them alone. You know, what kind of youthful lust we all have tempted, each and one of us different in different ways. Thanks be to God. He doesn't leave us and just say, give it up, give it up, give it up. All kinds of programs to give things up in the world. And almost all of them have steps to take to replace what you're giving up with something. It's even, you know, we even have drugs to give up to replace drugs that people are taking to help them give up the drugs they're taking. Sound crazy, but that's what we do. God says, give up youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. When you want to sin, pursue righteousness, do the right thing. When you want to sin, think about your commitments. Is that a word that I just made up? Commitments? Remember your commitment to God Almighty. When you want to sin, remember who loves you and who you love. Remember when you want to sin, folks. Peace will not come from sin in your life. You want to stir the pot, go ahead and sin. Sin against your brother, or your sister, or your wife, or your husband, or your boss. You want to keep stirred up in your heart and mind? Keep sinning. Keep hating that person. Be a hateful person, and you won't have peace that passes all understanding. You won't be able to love as Jesus loved. You'll struggle with your faith. You won't feel like you're righteous in the sight of God. Because you're not fleeing from youthful lusts. Okay, I got all that stuff down, God. I'm doing good. Fleed from youthful lust. I'm walking by faith. I'm living right. I'm loving everybody. I'm at peace. But you know what? I got some confidence. I think I'm going to tell somebody a little something. Avoid foolish disputes. That's tough to do, isn't it? I get an amen from anybody? Am I the only one that struggles with that? Huh? They generate strife. Drama. We don't use the word strife, right? We use the word drama. Avoid foolish. Now, sometimes you can't avoid them with your teenagers and your kids and your grandkids. You got to reason together. There's a difference between foolish disputes and reasoning together. And a lot of times it's how we do that. It's how we approach it. If we're approaching it from faith, love, and peace and righteousness, we got to have some wisdom to recognize whether it's foolish of us or not. You know? When Purdue plays IU, who's going to win? I disagree, Brother Bob. I disagree. No, I'm just jesting. But folks, there's nothing wrong with sometimes those rivalries and those types of things. But folks, to turn them into something hateful and demeaning and unchristian-like, we shouldn't go there. And we're tempted to do that. We're tempted to do that. Remind them of these things. But be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition. When I looked at this, I'm thinking, and my daughter, as she teaches all those preschool kids that are full of joy, full of life, nothing, you just, the world is in front of them, and the gentleness that she has to do with them, to be able to teach them and be patient, you know. It's different, and those of you that have taught Bible study and are teachers, it's different how you teach your own children and you can teach somebody else in a public setting. It's different. It is. And this is kind of what it's applying to. When we share God's truth with other people, when we share our hearts with other people, when we are being gentle to other people and able to teach and being patient. Isn't it unique that that's mentioned right after avoid foolish and ignorant disputes? God's word is so powerful in our lives, so truthful, complete. How do I avoid foolish and ignorant disputes? How do I avoid generating strife? How do I avoid drama in my life? By being gentle. By being able to teach. Being patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Why? That the word of God may work on their hearts, that they may repent, that they may know the truth. Boy, and here's a big thing, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. I know this is easy. You know what? That applies to somebody else. But I'd like for us to look at that this morning and look at this passage a little bit. And the lesson is yours. What happens if we don't come to our senses? What happens if we don't become a vessel of honor? If we don't pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace? What happens if we don't avoid foolish and ignorant disputes? What happens if we're not gentle? We don't want to teach. We don't want to be patient. We don't want to be humble in sharing the truth of God. Have we escaped the snare of the devil? Have we really come to our senses? Or are we be taken captive by Satan rather than the grace that is in Christ? In closing this morning, remind them of these things, the things we've looked at in God's Word this morning. Not to strive about words to no profit, to be diligent, not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth, to shun profane and idle babblings, depart from iniquity. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. To endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ. To compete according to the rules. To be hardworking. Remember that Jesus was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Double-clicked me on it, didn't it? To be gentle. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. To be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. I plead with us this morning to come to our senses and escape the snare of the devil, according to the passages we've looked at this morning. If you had the need to become a Christian, we invite you to do so this morning. Or if you want to make something right with your heart, there's no better time now to make it right with God as we stand and sing the selected hymn.